about several things, and you know you minister out of what God is telling you and your need. And so one of the things I want to minister, and oh, if you have your bulletin, I did call a great The main scriptures are on the back. I probably will do more than these, but I wanted some structure here. So anyway, what God has been dealing with me about is praying, and Stevie mentioned that, and the pastor mentioned that, and in your testimony, you prayed. Amen? You prayed. And then also love. And one of the scriptures, or one of the verses, one of my favorite songs is What a Wonderful Name It Is by the Hillsong. And one of the lines says, sin was great, but love was greater. Isn't that awesome? Doesn't that make you feel good today? That even though we might be entangled in sin, and sometimes we are weak, love is greater. And that's what I want to talk to you about a little bit this morning, about love and about prayer. We need to pray. If you don't know that, we need to pray for this country. And that's one of the scriptures that I'm dealing with here, is and it's right here in your bulletin, so you won't have to turn to your Bible if you don't have it. Some people don't bring their Bibles. You should. Amen. Anyway, 1 Timothy 2:1-4 says, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplication, prayer, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That means all of us. Now, we pray for our families first, and if you're like me, and I have a big family, Rachel has a big family, we have a lot of grandkids to pray about, amen? Got a lot of grandkids to pray for and great-grandkids, and they just keep going and going, and so that's a good thing. But it says for all men, so we're not supposed to just limit it to our family. So all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. You want to do something that's good and acceptable in the sight of the Lord? Pray. Amen. We need to pray. We need to pray. In Chronicles, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways. So it comes back to us. Amen. God says, folks, pray. I need your prayers. Well, we know God is all-powerful, but he says to pray, so we're supposed to pray. Now, Acts 12:5, the first verse there says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to him by the church. Constant prayer, folks, constant prayer. We need to be praying today for our nation, for each other. Amen. If you don't have anything else to pray about, pray for me. I need it. We need it. Amen. So what was happening here, the church was going through a great persecution, a time of persecution. James, the brother of Jesus, had been killed, and there were people who thought that was a good idea. So Herod thought, well, they like that so much, I'll just do that to Peter. So he had him, and if you read that, he is locked in a dungeon. He is shackled with soldiers. There is no way on earth that Peter can move. There's like a regiment of soldiers around him, so he cannot escape. And the neat thing about it, Peter's asleep, and he knows he's going to be executed tomorrow, but he's sleeping. What, you know, God has control of the situation. So then this angel, you know, says, okay, Peter, rise. The shackles fall off. He says, get dressed. We're leaving. And he goes out. The soldiers don't have a clue of what's going on. The next morning they wake up. Where is Peter? He's not there. So, of course, they all die because they didn't take care of Peter. They should have known. But, boy, how do you stop an angel? You know, we have these angelic beings around us, and they do an awesome job. It's wonderful. This I was just telling, oh, that's okay, no problem. We love Michaela. We love you guys too, but we love Michaela more. We can't help it. Amen. So I was just telling Bobby Jean on Wednesday night, we were talking about praying for our government, praying for things. And so I'm going to get off the story a little bit. Anyway, Peter, God sends a great deliverance to Peter because the church is praying. Amen. Amen. It says offered to God for him by the church, but constant prayer was offered to him for him by the church. In the Old Testament, there's some really neat stories. One is King Hezekiah. He's a neat king. He's a good king. Most of them are bad, but this is a good king. And the whole Assyrian army is coming against him. And they say, you know, hey, these other gods have not done anything. Your God's not going to do anything. You're going to fall. Just we'll surrender. because, you know, there's no way you can defeat this. And Hezekiah agrees with him in purpose because there is no way he can stop these soldiers from coming and destroying Israel. But he goes before God. Anyway, they're boasting out there. Oh, your God can't do anything. No other God's been able to stop us. You're going to be destroyed like all the other people if you don't surrender, etc. So they are scared. They go before God. Hezekiah goes before God, and he says, God, this is it. So Isaiah the prophet sends a message, don't worry, I've got this. And they're not coming against you, they're coming against me. And it's just, you know, so in one night, listen, this is so awesome. One night, one angel killed 185,000 soldiers. Is our God not powerful? One angel, amen? Amen. So the next morning, and he says, oh, the king will go back, or the general will go back, and he'll be killed, and he was killed by his own sons. But anyway, I was thinking about that and praying for the martyred church and the persecuted church, and there's so much persecution in the world today against Christians. And the Lord brought that to my mind. And also, when Saul was going to persecute the Christians in Damascus, Jesus says, you're persecuting me. You're persecuting me. So when these people come against Christians, they're persecuting God, and God will not tolerate it. I'd hate to be in there. So we serve a mighty God, amen? But Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. So we are supposed to pray. That is one of our jobs, is to pray. We need to pray, and so just keep praying. What did my husband used to say? You need the practice, I need the prayer, so pray for me. So, okay, you guys can start with me. That'll be great. So anyway, what I have down here, but I thought this was so neat because, you know, we have a sin problem. But God says, what is greater than sin? Love is greater. Everything. Love is greater. And just like that little verse in that song, Hillsong song, it says, sin was great, but love was greater. And that's what we pray. We pray because we love. We love our brothers. Jesus said, you know, love your neighbors. Love your neighbors as yourself. So I want to help you guys. So I wrote some things down. One is that when we pray, we have to believe God can change the hearts of not only people, but the hearts of kings. Because we, in the Bible, it shows us over and over again that God can control the hearts of kings. In the Old Testament, again, the children of Israel had sinned. They had been taken away into captivity. Jeremiah, the prophet, comes and tells them, you know, plant your orchards, get married, have children, settle down, because you're going to be here for 70 years. And at the end of 70 years, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah realized that this was the time. It was 70 years. So 70 years was up. So they begin to pray. You go back and read Ezra, Nehemiah, Daniel. It's awesome. And they get before God and they say, God, we have sinned. We have sinned as a nation. We have sinned and we deserve what happened to us. But the time is for deliverance. Your word says the time is for deliverance. So they begin to pray and God begins to move. Nehemiah is the cup server, the king's cup server. And that was a big job in those days because people liked to poison the king. And so if you were the cup guy, thank you, I really need it. So this guy would test the wine or whatever the guy was eating to make sure that, you know, he dropped dead, that don't eat that stuff, not a good idea. And if he didn't drop dead, you could go ahead and eat it, right? So Nehemiah was the king's cup server. So he had a big, very big, impressive job. But he was a believer, and he loved God, and he loved Israel, and he was praying for Israel. And the king takes notice, and he says, Nehemiah, you go back. And he built the walls. So he was one who built the walls. Ezra was the priest. And during this time, God's heart turned the people so much that they never, ever went back into idol worship during that time. And until Jesus came back, there's proof, they have proof that they never went back. They never fell back. So isn't that awesome? There's hope, amen. But what did Nehemiah, what did Ezra, what did Daniel do? They prayed. They realized the time was ripe, and they prayed. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to pray. So anyway, God has a job for us to do, and it's to pray. Okay, I put down, we have a sin problem. What is the opposite of sin? Love. And so it says, love does no harm to his neighbor. If we can just walk in love as God wants us to do. Now, this is easier said than done. I realize that but God loves people. And he is in the people business. He came for people. He puts galaxies. I think sometimes he just makes another galaxy so people will say, oh, another galaxy. You know, another million stars out there. Wow, look at that. Isn't God great? And he is, and it's so wonderful. And I share this, but, you know, I was thinking one day, and I was thinking about when we die as believers, and we know that God took Paul into the third heaven. So from what I understand, which is very little, but what I understand, our atmosphere is a first heaven, then there's a second heaven, and then out there is a third heaven, and it just goes on and on and on. And amazingly, God has named every one of those stars. Isn't that awesome that our God could keep track of billions and billions and billions of stars? It shows how wonderful he is. But the Bible says that when we die as Christians, in a blink of an eye, we are in the presence of the Lord. So we zip from this earth to there in the blink of an eye. Isn't that awesome? That's how quick God moves. That's how quick he moves. So it's such an awesome thing when you think about God. And how wonderful he is. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Let's go to Romans, the 13th chapter, 8 through 10. It's so neat. I love this, that Rick does this, because I don't even have to turn to my Bible. Leave it right here. You know, so. Anyway, this is, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any more commandments, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. Look at the 8th verse. It says, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. The very last thing of the 10th verse says, love, therefore love is a fulfillment of the law. So it's covered. Everything is covered in love. If we could walk in love, if we could love each other as Jesus loves us, how awesome it would be. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? And I use this so everybody that's heard this story a lot, just act like you've never heard it before. Yes, I've never heard that before. No, as all of you know, my husband, when he was saved, went and started ministering in a Skid Row mission in Seattle. And my husband was an alcoholic, so I wasn't really excited about going to a mission, an alcohol, you know, down on Skid Row. And once you got down to Skid Row, you were down at the bottom. I mean, you know, when you got down there, there was nowhere else for you to go. So they would come into Skid Row. They smelled terrible. They lived on the street, and I was not happy to be there. I had to go there every Friday night, and I worked. I had four little children, and my husband would insist that I go down and help him with these bums, Skid Row bums. And so anyway, it was so terrible, my poor children, because we would fight all the way down there, and then we were nice. You guys ever done that? Fought all the way to church or somewhere, and then, hi, you know, God is so good. And then we would fight. We were really good while we were there. And then we would fight all the way home. I don't know. But anyway, it was, they smelled. It was a bad, the guys were just awful by the time they got down to Skid Row. So anyway, I was thinking about one guy, though, and Fred would pray. And this one guy would come in, and he didn't have any sleeves on his coat. And in the winter, they would put newspaper in between their clothes, and that kept them warm. And I did learn that. Of course, I haven't needed it down here. But if you ever get cold, just put a bunch of newspaper in there, and it'll warm you up. So anyway, I was in my church on Sunday morning. I love my church. I love my little church, Rainier Avenue Free Methodist Church. And I was just sitting there, and God spoke to my heart. And it was one of the first times that God audibly spoke to me. And he said, I'm just sitting there. I never thought about the Skid Row mission except Friday morning when Fred would tell me, oh, by the way, I need you to go down with me tonight. And I'd go, oh, you know, it ruined my whole day because I knew I was going to have to do this. So I never thought about Skid Row at all. And so that Sunday morning, I was sitting in my church pew enjoying it. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, I love them. And I thought, what are you talking about? Where did that come from? You know, and it was like, I love them. I really love them. And I thought, oh my gosh, God really loves them. God really loves them. And it changed my whole life. Because no matter who we are on earth, this earth, God loves us. He loves us. And it just changed my whole way of thinking. You know, God loves them. And from then I never looked at them the same, because I realized, you know, that these people were somebody that God really did love. So when we look at people, we have to look at them through the eyes of God. And we had to see them as God. And I work for Council on Aging 3 hours a day. And we work with seniors. We're all seniors. And you know that seniors have their own unique little personalities sometimes. So this one girl who happens to be a Christian, but she irritates me in certain ways. And so I was thinking about her one day because she really is a blessing, but she just has these little irritating ways. And so I was thinking about it. It just came to me. I wonder how God sees her. It must have been a God thing. And God spoke to my heart and said, I see her as a daughter of the King. And I thought, wow, doesn't God put you in your place? You know, it makes you feel so small. And so I thought, wow, God loves her. God really does love her. And so it just changed my whole attitude about it, you know. And I was so glad because she is a sweet lady. I have many more flaws than she does. But God is so good. And he shows us, you know, he loves people. He loves people. I want to go over this again. In Romans, it says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, love, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love one another. So we are to love one another. And if we don't love each other, if we have Jesus indwelling us, then we have the ability to love one another. Amen? Love fulfills the law. Isn't that wonderful? You're worried about breaking the law. You're not going to break the law. If I love you, brother, I'm not going to do you any harm, am I? And so that is the whole thing. To love one another, God wants us to love. So I put down there, we have a sin problem, but opposite of that sin is love. So love does no harm. And it says love is stronger than death. And we know this. I want to share this with you too. And I feel like I was going to do this earlier. But anyway, we just thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for blessing Michaela. We thank you. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for peace in Jesus' name. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you. I want to help you. There are certain things that I wrote these down, and this is believe that God can change lives. Believe that God can change lives. When you pray, believe that God can change the situation. Sister Rachel and I were talking to her. She's standing on faith for a physical need in her body, and she said, I'm not going to give up. Amen. I know Rachel. She is not going to give up. Amen. I love that about her. Through the years, all the years I've known Rachel, she is a strong woman of faith, and she believes God. She believes God. When she could go the easy way, she chooses to believe God. The easy way is putting your hands in the doctor, not knowing what they might do to you. But anyway, she believes God. Okay. Okay. Believe God can change the hearts. Believe God can change the situation. With God, all things are possible. Amen. Amen. Number two, with God, all things are possible. This situation is possible with God. God wants is going to bless you. Amen. And guys, be praying for Donna Carr. I talked to her this morning. She was crying. It wasn't her back. It wasn't a physical thing. Tommy has had a delay. We were really believing. Anyway, he put these things before the judge, and the judge refused to look at them. But what is that to God? You know, God is bigger than any judge in this land. Amen. He can change the hearts. He can change the hearts, and we believe it. Thank you, Lord, that you can change the heart of this judge, that he will do this. Act and confess the word is true. Once you've prayed, once you're believing, then act and believe and say it's true. Amen. Confess it's true. And then thank God. Thank God for the answer. Thank God that you're healed. Thank God that need is met. Thank you, Lord, Tommy's out of that prison. Thank you, Lord, that you're speaking to his heart right now, and it is not a delay to death. Amen. It's for a purpose. It's for a purpose. And we don't understand it. We think he should have got out of jail 10 years ago. But God, we have to trust that God is in control of this situation. Amen. Amen. So first of all, believe that God can change the situation. God can change the hearts of a king. God can do it. And with God, all things are possible. It might not be possible with me. Might not be possible, but it's possible with God. Amen. Act and confess the word, and then thank him for doing it. There's one of the saddest scriptures in the Bible is this, and there are some sad scriptures in the Bible. And this one, though, is in Ezekiel 22:30, and it says, this is Ezekiel 22:30, it says, "So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy, but I found no one." Isn't that one of the saddest scriptures? God looked and he found no one. So we don't want that to happen in this country. Amen. We don't want God to look and say there was no one. Everybody was on their little phones. Everybody was busy. Everybody was running here and throat. Nobody had time to pray. But I believe that there are enough praying Christians in this country that can turn it around. Now, whether you are for the president or not is your own business. I diligently prayed for our last president. Not that I thought he was the most wonderful president in the world. That had nothing to do with it. The reason I prayed for it was the very reason this word says, so we would have peace. So God would bless us. I did it selfishly. No, I didn't want him to die. This one person told me, well, I won't say what they told me. I don't want to repeat it. But I said, no, you don't want that. Think of what would happen to this country. You need to pray. We need to pray. And it's up to us to pray for our leaders. President Trump needs our prayers. He needs wisdom. His advisors need wisdom. So pray. I've been really praying, not only for him, but for those that he has an ear that he hears. You know, his generals, these people, they need wisdom. And it's up to us to pray for that wisdom. We can't just lay back and say, all is well. No, all isn't well. No, we got to pray. Amen. God has called us to pray. We don't want to be like Ezekiel, where God sought for a man and there was nobody to intercede. We need to do that. Amen. Amen. I want to just share this one more thing, too. Any area, and I wrote this down, any area in your life that you have not surrendered to God, Satan has the right and power over you in that area. So a lot of times we sort of fall into this rut because we're pretty good people, amen? So maybe I'm doing really good, but somebody really irritates the heck out of me, amen? And that becomes a really big thing in my life. Every time I see this person, they irritate me. So what is that? What does it mean? That is an area of my life that I have not surrendered. I have to love that person. I have to give that person the same grace I want God to give me, amen? So what is your little sin today? Amen? What is your little sin? Well, usually we're not murdering anybody, or we're not going to do the big things, or whatever we think is big things. So the enemy works on smaller things, irritations, just a million of different things or areas of the life that you can come into. So I want you guys to really think about that. Any area in your life that you have not surrendered to God, Satan has a right in that area. And he will come and he will buffet you until he wins in that area if you don't surrender that to God. So I just wanted us to do some searching today. Let God search our heart. Let him look deep. If there is any areas in our life that I really do have a problem with anger. Hey, I really do have a problem of getting irritated. Hey, I really do have a problem of hating that person's guts. Amen. I'm going to surrender that to the Lord. I am going to get control of it. Whatever areas in our life, the small things, the big things, God wants us. We cannot pray effectively if we have these things in our life. So we need to clean up our act. Clean up. God says that if you judge yourself, I won't have to judge you. Amen. It says, search me, O God. And when God does that, then he wants us to do something about it. First of all, pray for our nation. Pray for our nation. We need prayer. We need a turnaround. And I believe God's going to do it. I had seen this thing recently. I heard this thing about, it's like a youth movement across this country. And millions and millions and millions of youth are praying. And this man believes that the next great revival will begin in our youth. Isn't that going to be awesome? Let it be so, Lord. Amen. Let it be so. Lord, just come. Come, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. You know, it says the good, it isn't hyped to be some horrible, horrible thing. Usually it's horrible things that get us on our knees. But the Bible says it's the goodness of the Lord that brings us to repentance. Lord, it's your goodness. How many good things has God done in your life? Even this last week. Amen. He's been so good. He's been so good. You know, I was thinking about how good God has been to me. And he gave me wonderful friends that have been my friends through the years forever. But in the backyard here at the church, we planted some blueberry bushes and we planted some other things. And our thought is that, you know, not only are we going to have a pantry, but we're going to have fresh vegetables. We're going to have fresh fruit. People can go out. We had a couple this morning that came by, and he was a vet. He said, I can prove to you how much money I make, and it wasn't a lot. And he said, we've been homeless for a long time, and they had three little dogs. Boy, Sandy should have been here. Her heart would have just been, wow. She is a dog lover. One time Sandy told me, I love you, Sister Claudia, but I do love my dogs more. And I said, I understand. If you know Sandy, you know she loves me a lot. But she does love her dog. So I said, it's okay, Sandy. I understand. I'll take what I can get. And so anyway, but this little couple, anyway, they said they had been walking for like 3 months. They finally could buy this old car for $700. But now they got to put car, you know, you buy a car, you got to keep it up. So anyway, they were on their way somewhere. Someone's always either going to Texas to work or they're going to Miami to work. But anyway, they came in, they had some coffee, and they talked to us, and we were able to bless them a little bit, put some gas in their car, and send them on their way. And, you know, it's just an opportunity. But I was thinking, you know, when our blueberries come in and when all of our fruit comes in, our vegetables, they could, you know, we can give people fresh vegetables and stuff. And the neat thing about it, and this is, you know, really was such a blessing, but because guess what the garden's name is? Sister Claudia's Garden. Isn't that sweet? I know, I'm so touched. And I am, because they could have named it anyway, anybody, you know, but they named it after me, and I was so touched because I thought, God is so good to me. He's given me such wonderful people to love me, and I know you do love me. You know, I see it on your faces, and I am so blessed. It's the goodness of God. Amen? It's his goodness. I don't deserve all that, but I appreciate it, and I love you guys. But I am optimistic as far as this country. I know God wants us to do certain things, and I feel like if we don't, we'll pay the price. But I believe that God is able to do abundantly above what we could ask or think. And God wants us, I want you guys to just, hey, Stevie, will you get the lid off of that for me, sweetheart? It gets very thirsty up here. But isn't that sweet? God has been so good to me, and I do appreciate all of you, and I thank you for your faithfulness in God's house. God doesn't, you know, God says, that Jesus told Peter, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, when people say the church is dead, no longer needed, no, the church is not dead. It will never die because Jesus has ordained it. Just like marriage, it's the best thing going. Amen? God ordained marriage. He has a way of doing things his way, and we have to go his way. We have to flow in his way. So God has ordained the church. He's not going to go against his church. He is going to the gates of hell cannot prevail against his church. And we will see this church arise. Amen? Amen. Get excited, people, because God, we want to be a part of this last end time move. And I do believe we're in the end time. If Peter and John and them believe it was the end time back there, I think we can safely say it's the end time today. Amen. It's closer now than it was before. So guys, pray. We have a lot to pray about. Pray for our nation. Pray that God is going to, that we will hunger and thirst after righteousness. We'll hunger and thirst after God. And God says that when we are hungry and thirsty, he'll fill us. Amen. But we had to keep that stirred up, because otherwise the cares of the world is going to sort of pull us the other way. And before we know it, we've gotten cold. And before we know it, our brother and sister in church, it irritates the heck out of us. Amen. And so then we get, but so then we have to repent. So we are so blessed. We're so blessed. Pray for each other. Believe that God can change the hearts of people, that God can do great mighty things. With God, all things are possible. Amen. Act and confess the word and thank him. Be a thankful people. We've got to be thankful, because that's another way the enemy steals from us, if we forget to be thankful. Amen. And we have so much to be thankful for in this nation. You know, intercede. Don't give up. Remember Abraham, when God confronted him and said that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said, God, what if there's 45? And God says, I won't destroy them for 45. And he worked it on down to 10. And God said, I won't even do it for 10. I'll save the cities for 10 righteous people. But there weren't even 10 righteous people. But there are more than that in this land. Amen. Amen. So we want to be where God wants us to be this morning. Amen. The Bible says, when a wicked man rules, the people groan. That's true, isn't it? So, amen. So I wrote down here, but Jesus Christ, we proclaim you as Lord over these United States of America. Amen. Can we say that? Jesus Christ, we proclaim you as Lord over these United States of America. And you know, sometimes politicians just say, God bless you all. You know, I'm taking that as meaning something. It might just be something they say, but every time they say it, I'm saying, thank you, God, that they mean it. Thank you, God, that you hear that is what we really want you to bless. We really need you to bless. Amen. So blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That's what we want today. Amen. We want this nation to be God's nation as it was in the beginning. Those men were not perfect men, but God raised them up for that hour and that day. And they accomplished what God has said. And I think God has his hand on this nation. I think that we have to pray. That's what we're called to do. Pray, and love one another. Love one another. Amen. Amen. So, Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this hour that you have placed us in. Lord, help us not to grow weary in well-doing. Lord, we thank you that you're in control. And, Lord, we thank you for... We just help us, Lord, stir it up continually to pray for our president, pray for our leaders, pray for our justices, pray for righteous judges, Lord, that these men don't think they're little gods walking around, but they are under your authority. Lord, we pray for righteousness. Lord, we pray for righteousness in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I don't want to forget this. I want to share one more thing. And Sister Teresa is one of my favorite saints. I do believe she was a saint. My goodness, anybody ever read what she did? But anyway, one of the things she said is that you might not be able to feed a nation, but you can feed one person. We can do what we can for one person. And we have one person, and I want to share this story with you. My granddaughter Elizabeth is in Teen Challenge. I think most of the people realize that. And her husband's family... Anyway, the daughter is in jail, and she is pregnant. She's going to have a baby. It's due July the 22nd. And just like we can't help every pregnant girl in the land, I think we can help Ashley. That is her name. Her mother will be getting the baby as soon as it's born. They do not know if it's a boy or girl. I guess the state doesn't spend that kind of money to check it out. But anyway, Ashley's baby will be coming along very shortly, and they have nothing. Now, Ellen and them have provided a crib and several of the major things. But as far as clothes, and I've talked to Rebecca and I've talked to Deanna about, I was thinking, who is the last person that had babies, you know, that haven't given all this stuff away, and they're going to go through their stuff. But there's a lot of things a newborn needs, and I was just thinking that, you know, that as a body, and I know you guys are so generous, and I know you probably say, Sister Claudia, I could use some help myself. But if you can help, like buy diapers, buy anything that a newborn would need, probably between the zero, I don't know how big the baby is, you know, 0 to 6 months or something. And if you can buy diapers, if you can buy anything for this baby, and we'll give it to the grandma. She'll be bringing it home. And I think that you guys got your baby right within like a day or something, didn't you, Julie? When you know, so it'll be quick. So, you know, and I've been going to do this for several weeks now, and I keep, not that I keep procrastinating, I just keep forgetting it. But I was talking to them yesterday, and I really, one of the things God really, you know, convicted me on, why aren't you doing more in this situation? You know, and I said, well, I meant to do more, Lord. I really did. It's just that time has gotten away from me. So whatever you can do, if you can't do anything, then just, not that this is anything, but pray. Pray for Ashley. Pray. It's another thing the Lord convicted me. He said, why aren't you riding this girl? And I said, God, I am so sorry. Because I should, because I've known her for at least 10 years. And she's had a hard time, and she's in a situation now that's not a good one. But anyway, whatever you can do, pray for Ashley, pray for her mama, pray for the family, and we'll see what we can do as far as the baby's concerned, okay? We bless this baby. And so anyway, thank you guys. I love you all. Have a good rest of the week. Pray. Amen. And love. Amen. So...